5 and verse 4 this morning, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, and we're going to start looking at victorious Christian living or the victorious Christian life. And today specifically, we're going to look at this question, is it possible? Is it possible? We live in a day and age where I think that people are struggling with living a victorious Christian life, and some have even gotten to the point where they think, I don't know if it's possible or not. Well, let's look at the Word of God today. 1 John 5 and verse 4, the Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we have this fact, if you're born of God, you overcome the world, and the victory is our faith. We need to learn to walk not by sight, not by feeling, not by emotion. We walk by faith in the Word of God, and we will and can get victory. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would help me to preach this message this morning from your Word. I pray that as we look at many scriptures this morning, God, that you will strengthen our hearts. God, that we will see that victory clearly is possible. And Lord, it's not only possible, it's expected that a person who is saved, who is bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, that we would live a victorious Christian life. Lord, that we would not be strangled by the world, that we would not be bound by sin. Lord, that we would not continue in bondage, but Father, we would have freedom from all of that and be able to live a life that would be honoring and pleasing to you. God, I pray for strength to do it. I ask, God, that this message and your scripture might help us today to get that in our hearts and minds. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we look at this. First of all, victorious life will bring the following things. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I want to just show certain attributes, certain things that will be brought about when you start living a victorious Christian life. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible says this, Philippians 4 verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When a person learns to live a victorious Christian life, they are all of a sudden going to have that peace of God that passes all understanding. It will not matter what takes place in your life as you deal with one thing after another, there is going to be a peace, and people will look at you and say, how can you have peace during this thing? Well, you say, I'm living a victorious Christian life, and God gives me that peace, and that peace is beyond understanding, and that's what God wants us to have. Secondly, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. The second thing that victorious Christian living will bring in our lives is found in verse 8. It says, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, that is the faith. Remember, it's the faith that overcomes the world, and that faith is grounded in the Word of God. Yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So the person who has victory in their life, not only are they going to have peace, they are going to have joy. They are going to be able to rejoice. When no one else around them could be rejoicing, they'll still have it. They'll still have that joy because God gives to those who walk in victory a joy that is incomprehensible to the world. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5. The Bible says this, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In the power of God. You look at this and you think, is this something that is just talked about? Or is this something that can be attained in your life? You hear about it. You hear people talk about living in victory. You hear people talk about getting victory over sin. You hear people talk about getting victory over the world. You hear people talk about having a relationship with Jesus Christ where you're able to talk to Him, you're able to read the Word of God, and He speaks to you through the Word of God. You hear about this, but the question is, do you have it in your life? Are you living in victory, or are you still in bondage to sin? Are you living in victory? Or is the world still pulling you down? Do you have peace? Do you have joy? Do you have the power of God in your life? Where are you at? And so we're going to look and try to answer this question. Can we have victory in our life? Can we have victory in our life? Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we look here. Jesus teaching His disciples how to pray. And in that teaching, He starts out and He begins that prayer, but He comes down to verse 13. And He says this, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The definition here is given. Whose is the kingdom? It's Jesus Christ. Whose is the power? It's God's power. Whose is the glory? It's God's glory. So the question is this, does God have the power to answer prayer? Yes, He does. Jesus Christ says specifically in teaching us to pray that part of our praying should be this: lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If God tells us to pray for it, and then He demonstrates in the other part of the verse that that power belongs to God, should we be able to live a life in victory? The short answer is yes, we should, because God tells us to pray for it and God answers prayer. Now, I guess the question partially becomes down to, are we praying for victory? Are we asking God, are you looking at the sins that you're involved in, saying, God, keep me from temptation in this sin. Help me to get victory over this sin. If we're not praying about it, then we're not doing what Jesus told us to do, and we're probably not going to get that victory. In order to pray about it, you first of all have to acknowledge it. Some people won't acknowledge the sin that they're in, and in not acknowledging the sin, they're definitely not praying to be delivered from it. And so they're bound, not living in victory. How many people experience a real level of victorious Christian living? Honestly, so many people. They've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. They will stand before God ultimately righteous. But they live in this earth and on this world under the tyranny of sin. And I'll tell you what, sin is a tyrant. Sin does not want to let you go. Sin demands that you serve it. Sin demands that your flesh fulfill those sinful desires. Sin does not want to let go. You take some of the things that you look at and think that should be the simplest thing to get victory over, and some people are so bound to those sins that they will not get victory. And you think, how? It's simple. Some sins you look at and say, these are much more difficult. And I've seen people get victory over sins that I would consider to be very difficult to get victory over. We know that sin can be defeated. How many of you know people that have defeated alcohol? Okay? We know people that have defeated alcohol. I know people that have defeated alcohol. People that used to drink, people that used to be drunkards, and they no longer even want it. They have been delivered from that sin. It's gone, and they can look at it, and they could walk by a bar and not even want to go in there, not even think about going in there. They've been delivered. They've gotten victory over that sin. How many know people that have gotten victory over adultery? I know people that have gotten victory over adultery. It was a sin that bound them, that pulled them in, and finally they got victory over that sin. I know people that have gotten victory over pornography. a binding sin, one that pulls the person back and back and back, and it won't let them go, and wants them at every opportunity to be bound to look and take another look at the wickedness that's out there. It's more prevalent now than ever before in our society, but people have gotten victory and been delivered to the point where if a picture comes up that they're exposed to, they'll turn their head so fast they'll make their neck snap because they don't want it anymore. People have been delivered from smoking. People have been delivered from drugs. Is God able? So then we come down to this. How about this? Can we get victory over anger? How about pride? Can we get victory over jealousy? Can we get victory over backbiting? Can we get victory over worry? See, so many times we tend to attack what we would consider the big sins and leave the little ones in our lives and just think, oh, it's acceptable because I'm not doing the visible sins. That's not victory. You're still living in defeat. If the sins are sins of the heart, if the sins are sins of the mind, they're still sin, and you're still living in defeat rather than living in victory. We need to be able to have victory in our lives, and as much as we look at a person that got victory over alcohol, we ought to be able to get victory over any sin that is in our lives. So you think about that. Let's look at some commands and things that God has given us. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. I am going to rapidly go through a set of verses. And these verses are going to drive home a point that it is the expectation of God that a Christian ought to be able to live in victory. Do you believe it? Do you think a person ought to be able to get victory over any sin? I think so. So here's, let's look at this. Matthew 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their, what? Sins. He shall save his people from their sins. Did Jesus Christ die for you, wash away your sin, in order for you just to go back into the bondage of that sin? No, he said he'd save you from it. He said he'd deliver you from it. That's victory. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, the Bible says this, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." That's quite a command, isn't it? Is God in heaven perfect? So when he says, be ye perfect. Now, would Jesus Christ give a command that could not be fulfilled? I'm not going towards sinless perfection here, okay? We are actually going to look at that passage probably next week and deal with that. This week, I'm showing you that there is an expectation that we should be able to live in victory. And this is a verse that shows that expectation from God. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. The Bible puts the comparison pretty high. 1 Peter 1, verse 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Has the person that called you, is the person that saved you, is he holy? Absolutely, right? And he says, so therefore be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Conversation in your King James Bible is your entire lifestyle. It's not just your speech, although your speech ought to be holy. It's your entire lifestyle. So God says, be holy in all manner of conversation. Guess what? That would be victorious Christian living, wouldn't it? Is there an expectation of that? Did God tell us to do that? And it says in verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. As we look at the Word of God, there is a clear expectation that we should be able to live in victory. Chapter 3, verse 19. The Bible says, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Now let me ask you something. Filled with all the fullness of God, does that sound like victory to you? Does that sound like that would be a victorious Christian life when you're filled with all the fullness of God? See, God wants us to live in victory. Satan wants us to live in defeat. Right? Satan will use the flesh and the world to pull us down. God, through Jesus Christ, provides victory. So you think about this. God says, "I want you to be full of all the fullness of Christ." Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And verse 1. 1 John chapter 2. And verse 1, the Bible says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." That ye sin not. "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." It's written that we sin not, and the word is "if any man sin." Right? So God's expectation is not that we get saved and then we just have to continually have this advocate. He's there. He's ready for us. But the expectation is, if any man sin, he says, "I'm writing these things that ye sin not." That's victorious Christian living. That we get to this point where sin isn't controlling us. And if sin is not controlling us, we have to get to the point where God is in control of our lives. 1 John chapter 3. And verse 3, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3, "And every man that hath this hope," what hope? Let's back up to verse 2. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." That's a pretty good thing, isn't it? Is it a good thing to be a child of God? Okay, should the king's children live in victory? Okay, "We are now the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be." I'll tell you what, that day is a day that'll be an amazing day. "It doth not yet appear what we shall be." Can you imagine a new body with absolutely no health troubles? "It doth not yet appear what we shall be." But not only is that new body no health troubles, that new body will have no desire to sin. "It doth not yet appear what we shall be." But what does the Bible say? "What we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Be like Jesus. Wow. That's victory, isn't it? So God says this, verse 3, "And every man that hath this hope," what hope? The hope that Jesus Christ is coming again and we're going to have victory. Think about it. He's coming again, and we can have victory. "So every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." So every person that's looking to the rapture, every person that's looking to this fact that Jesus Christ is coming, that he is going to change me into his image, I will be conformed into his image. Every person that has this hope, what does the Bible say they do? They purify themselves even as he is pure. You don't have to live in sin. You do not have to be subject to bondage. You do not have to live in the wisdom of this world. You do not have to let the people of this world control you. You do not have to live under the bondage that this world puts upon people. I'm amazed at what people put up with from this world. And you don't have to.
Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Do you know that we live in a world that you cannot even put a yard sale advertisement online without somebody having some kind of negative feedback? You know, somebody helped us. They posted our yard sale online this week, and somebody writes back, well, you can't do this, this, and this. And I'm just like, you know what? I am so glad that I do not subject myself to all of the stuff that people say. I don't know what has been said about me out there. I don't care. What I don't know, I'm not worried about. I answer to God. He is my Father. I'm grateful for Him. And I'm grateful that He's my Father. I do not understand why a person would expose themselves to all that stuff and have people just write in negative stuff all the time. How are you going to live in victory with that going on all of your life? Romans chapter 6, verse 11 says this, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus says, look, I want you to be alive. I want you to live. I want you to have victory in your life. In order to do so, you have to be dead to sin. And he says, reckon yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. Verse 14 of the same chapter says this, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Sin shall not have dominion. What is dominion? Dominion is control. Dominion is power. And the Bible says, look, if you're a saved person, it is the expectation of God that washed away your sins, that sin no longer has dominion over you. God doesn't want us living under the power of sin. God gives us power to get victory over any sin. Any sin. I've heard it preached. I've read it, and people put up this philosophy, this idea. You take one sin, and you look at that sin, and you attack and say, okay, today I am going to get victory over this sin. I'm going to attack it. I'm going to win over this sin. And while they're in the process of getting victory over this sin, they're just allowing the other sins in their life. Just attack them. And preachers will preach us, just attack them one sin at a time. Let's get rid of this one and then go on the attack against this one. Well, look, if you are allowing this sin while you're attacking this sin, are you really going to have the power of God to get over this sin? Are you? If you're living under this sin, are you walking in the Spirit? So are you going to be able to get victory over this sin if you're allowing this sin? See, this one sin at a time approach, that's not a biblical thing. God doesn't say, it's okay, you can leave this one and deal with it later. Can anybody, anywhere in the Word of God, show me anything that would even slightly hint that it's okay to leave this sin and deal with it later? Anything? Anybody even got the slightest hint of a verse that would lead you to believe that? God doesn't want us to stay under bondage. God wants us to be in victory. God wants us to live in victory. There's the expectation. We're reading verse after verse after verse that shows that sin should not have victory over us. Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 16. Ephesians 6 and verse 16. The Bible says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able. Now, so far, we're seeing a very positive, strong verse, aren't we? We've got a shield. What is the shield? Faith. The very first verse we read, we overcome by faith. Now we're taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able. Does it say ye might be able? No.
It is a dogmatic shall be able to quench some or all. All the fiery darts of the wicked. Whether those darts be coming from Satan, whether those darts be coming from wicked people, if we have the shield of faith, we will be able to withstand all. It will quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. You know, honestly, one of the most, two things that are probably some of the most discouraging things. You go out and knock on doors for a while, and I'll tell you what, that can be very discouraging at times. You're knocking on door after door after door, and people are saying, you're meeting two things. You're meeting people that don't want anything to do with it. I'm talking about majority. People that don't want anything to do with it. Or you're meeting people that have some semblance of religion, but know nothing of salvation washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Either one is a discouraging thing as you want to talk to them. You walk there, you have the Word of God in your hand, you have the answer to their life, the answer to their eternal life. Would you just trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? Would you just repent of your sins and turn? And you know what? It can be discouraging. But guess what? You just do it. And you don't get discouraged. And you don't let it weigh you down. And guess what? You keep walking on in victory. Why? Because we're doing what we're supposed to do by faith. Does the Bible anywhere give a hint that we should be result-orientated? Does it? Think about it. One hint anywhere that we should be result-orientated? No, we're supposed to go do it. Did God promise multitudes and multitudes would receive it? I think God said narrow is the way and few there be that find it. Right? But those few that find it, we ought to be able to live in victory. Another thing that is discouraging is when you have people that know that they're saved, they're bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, they have defeated multiple sins, but they just choose to keep some. Why in the world would you choose on purpose to keep a sin? Does that even make sense? You were over here realizing my sin is taking me to hell. If I were to die, I would fall into that pit that the Bible calls the bottomless pit. It calls it the lake of fire. It calls it hellfire. It calls it eternal damnation. And my sin was taking me there. And then I saw Jesus. And He died for me to save me from my sin. And I turned to Jesus Christ and He saved me from my sin. Now think about this. He wants to give us victory. It's very evident in the Word of God that He wants us to live a victorious Christian life. Why do we want to turn back to the sin? That was the very thing that was pulling me toward hell. That was the very thing that put Jesus Christ on the cross. Why do I want to keep it? Oh, well, I tell you, it's just so hard. Why? Why? We'll get there. So all the fiery darts. So here's a question. The question is not, can I live a victorious Christian life? The answer to that, you just put your name there. Can I live a victorious Christian life? You know what the answer is? No. You can't. But Jesus Christ can through you. See, I can't live in my flesh without the power of God, without faith in Jesus Christ. Do I have any chance of living a victorious Christian life? Can I do it
And see, this is so often where we get messed up, is we think that it's us that has to do it. We get this idea, I've got to beat this sin. See, what we've got to get to is not the I, it's this. Turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Verse 24. Here's Paul speaking. And Paul says this, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Could Paul live the Christian life? No, Paul's sitting there saying, oh, I am wretched. I can't. Who will deliver me from this body of death? And then in the very next verse, Paul says this, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The victory is in Jesus Christ. You know where the victory lies? The victory lies in our love for Jesus Christ. The victory lies in our relationship with Jesus Christ. The victory lies in, it's no longer me trying through my character, through my self-will, through my ability, trying to get rid of these sins. The answer is me walking with Jesus Christ, realizing He cleansed me from that sin. That sin has no more power over me. If I walk with Him and if I walk in the Spirit, the Bible says I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the key is walking in the Spirit. But so often the Spirit is quenched. Will the Holy Spirit, can He give you victory? Can He? Okay, I've got two yeses. Okay, can the Holy Spirit give you victory in your Christian life? He can. So, why do so many people not have victory? One, maybe they're trying to do it themselves rather than doing it through God. Remember, Jesus Christ said to pray, deliver me from evil. Deliver me from temptation. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. He said to pray about that. See, we've got to have God. It's got to be God's help. It's God that gets us victory. It doesn't matter what sin it is. But don't do this. Don't attack one and leave the rest there. Attack them all at once in the power of God. Walk in the Spirit. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Learn to have a walk with Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. The Bible says, But thanks be unto God, or thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our willpower, through our character, through our strength. No, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is a little key there. Our who? Oh, you mean He has to be in control of my life if you want to live a victorious Christian life? Yes. See, we've got to get to the point where Jesus Christ is Lord of our life, where He is King, where we're living not in our will, not in our self-will, but in His will. Go ahead and sit up. Sit up, sit up. All right, this is not nap time. It's not sleeping time, okay? We're glad you're here. We love you, but got to be listening, okay? Think about it. Jesus Christ, our Lord, gives us the victory. Jesus Christ, our Lord, gives us the victory. Turn back to 1 John now where we started. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. And we're going to build on this a few weeks over. But 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says this, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Is that a concrete positive statement? What have we established from the Scripture? Does God expect Christians to live holy? Does God expect Christians to get victory over all the fiery darts of the devil, of the wicked?
Does God expect Christians to have a victorious Christian life and overcome the world? Yes. There is an expectation in Scripture. So when we look and say, a victorious Christian life, is it possible? The answer is yes. It is possible. But it does not depend upon our power. It depends upon His power. It depends upon our submission to our Lord. If you do not learn to submit to Jesus Christ, submit to the Word of God, submit to every Word of God, you will never have victory. Sure, you may through your willpower defeat a sin or two, but you will not have a victorious Christian life until it all goes to God, and it becomes totally dependent upon God. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And it is our faith, first of all, in Jesus Christ for Savior. I want to ask today, are you saved? Today, by raise of hand, how many of you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved? You trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. You know for sure that if you died, you'd be on your way to heaven. That is the majority of those that are here. I can't see every person. Okay, how did you get saved? By grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So I have a question. If you got saved through faith in Jesus Christ, and you knew and accepted by faith that He had the power to save you, does He not have, if He has the power to save you from hell, do you not think that He has the power to give you a victorious Christian life here on this earth? So any person, would you agree with me, can any Christian have a victorious Christian life? Any Christian can have a victorious Christian life. The power's there. So why don't we? And I don't know who does and who doesn't. But the question comes, why don't we? Why would a Christian then be still in a sin? And I'm not saying you don't slip up once in a while. There are unexpected sins. There are things that's like, whoa, I did not expect that. I was not prepared for that. That's wrong too. We shouldn't be caught unprepared. Okay, we need to be ready and prepared and trying to walk in the Spirit all day, every day. There's not time in this world to live for the flesh. There just isn't. Because when we live for the flesh, we lose victory. And we live in a world that honestly, most, and I say most, people who call themselves Christians look like, act like, talk like the world. Most people who name the name of Christ, who claim to be blood-bought, born again, washed in the blood, saved, regenerated Christians, most look like, act like, and talk like the world. Those people, they have an anemic, powerless life. The world sees no difference in them, and therefore sees no need for Jesus Christ. That is the state of Christianity across the world. God wants us to have victory. He expects us to have victory. It is possible to have victory. It is possible to look like, act like, and talk like a Christian in this world. No matter who you're around, who you're with, you need to be a Christian. And you need to walk in victory. So what will that do? It shines a bright light all around. People see a difference. People note that difference.
And guess what? They see, whoa, there is something real here. I need to be saved. I need the power of Jesus Christ in my life. But when Christians look like, act like, and talk like the world sees no difference. Why would they want to get saved? There's no power. Do we live by faith, or do we live under the control of this flesh? So I want to ask you, do you first of all believe that it is possible for you to have a victorious Christian life? Or have you accepted defeat for so long that you look at it and say, I can't get victory over this sin? Yes, you can. Through Jesus Christ. No, you can't in your own power. But if you will walk with God, you will get victory. As you begin to walk with Jesus Christ, the sins fall by the wayside. You don't even have to try. Do you understand that? When you have a relationship with Jesus Christ that is alive and vibrant and real, and you're praying and reading and living for Him, the sins fall by the wayside because you're walking in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's stand to our feet.